lovely listener friends, and welcome to the last episode of the season. Came up quick, I know you're telling me. But I thought that for today's last episode, it would be really fun, particularly for me, because I love this game, to talk about Skyrim. So I know I've done a previous episode about Skyrim, specifically about the companions of Skyrim. But today I kind of just wanted to talk about the game overall, because out of all the games that I've played, Skyrim is probably the one that I go to back the most. So I kind of wanted to talk about why that is, what makes the game such a banger. So, you know, the aesthetics, the environment, certain quest lines, the DLCs, the replayability, the modding community, all that is what I'm going to talk about today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. So the first thing that came to mind when thinking about Skyrim was the aesthetics. And I know that that's kind of funny because Skyrim as a game, it definitely isn't the prettiest. It's not the best of the bunch. But I think for the time and for the way that they just put everything together in the space, I thought was really well done, because I don't think there's a part of the Skyrim map that I don't like. There are some that I definitely don't like more. No, that doesn't make any sense. There are definitely some areas of the map that I'm not the biggest fan of, but I can't say that they aren't beautiful, because you've got a bunch of different areas of the map in Skyrim where, you've got like the Riften Force. Nobody can deny that that's a beautiful area. I personally really love the area around Whiterun, because Whiterun is probably my favorite city. But just the plain surrounding it, even Markarth's really nice with a very hilly area. I mean, Dawnstar, pain in the butt, don't really like it. Winterhold, pain in the butt, don't really like it. But that's just because I'm biased towards snowy areas, because I dislike snow. But snow in itself, it's really well done. But I think, just the way that they incorporated, at least to me, one of the most impressive parts is that in the game, like, say you're walking from Winterhold to Dawnstar, there is a big difference in the weather and the climate of the area. And it's just really interesting to me how they like made the map such a drastic change from Winterhold to Dawnstar. So each city that you visit in the map, it's going to have a different feeling, a different vibe. And I thought that that was really well done. I mean, it's really interesting when you think about just like the enemies that spawn on the map too. I mean, you've got the Falmar region, you've got like the Forest Ward region up by Markarth. I mean, you've got more of this like bandit country-esque type, like the southern part towards Riften. And then you've kind of got a mix of like wildlife and Whiterun. I just think that it was really well done with certain enemies being in certain parts of the map, which of course makes sense, because if you're designing a game, you're going to want certain enemies to be in certain areas. But just wanted to say that was really well done, because as far as a game, like other games that I played, I mean, if you think about, I don't know, like BioWare games or other like Bethesda games, like in Fallout, you've got super mutants. Those are all over the map. Or Feragules. Those are all over the map. Or like in Dragon Age, you've got certain bad guys that appear in certain areas. But it's the way that Skyrim does it is unique, at least in my mind. Maybe I'm all making that up, but it was something that I distinctly remembered when playing the game, at least going back to play the games, because I can't tell you how many hours I've logged on the game. Probably over 2,000, probably 2,500 at this point, just because I played the game so much. But it's just one of the things that I really love about the game, because each area is distinct and different, and I feel like you don't get that in some other games. Another part of why I love Skyrim so much are certain quest lines. So obviously you've got the main quest line of Skyrim, which is iconic in itself. It's not my favorite, which is funny considering it's the main quest line. But with Skyrim it's particularly interesting because the way, and maybe this is like a flaw in certain people's minds, but I think it's actually an advantage to Skyrim, because in Skyrim you can play it how you want. You know, you can completely avoid doing the main quest line for however long you decide to put it off doing separate side quests or just other main quests and come back to it. And yes, it can be annoying if it's your first time playing the game. You're like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, discovering that I'm the Dragonborn and what that means. And I'm going up to visit the Greybeards. And then, oh, you get sidetracked to do with this other quest. Then you come back and you're like, what the heck was I doing? So I get that to a degree. But with the replayability of the game, I sort of think it's funny that that happens. That, you know, the whole premise of the main quest line is, oh, you're a Dragonborn. Wow, you're able to absorb dragons and kill them permanently. And this is so cool. Oh, you want to go find the spoon in this random cave? Yeah, go for it. It's funny to me how, like, it seems like it's such a big deal, but then it's not in the game. And like I said, it can be kind of like a negative part, because obviously you want the like weight of your main character to be a big part of the game, and then it's not. But I think that it's just really cool how like the ability of other quest lines to entice you away from the main quest line says a lot about it. So I remember when I first played Skyrim, or maybe one of the first couple times, I had no idea about the Dark Brotherhood quest line, because Skyrim was the first game that I really got into with the Elder Scrolls series. And I know I mentioned this on a previous one, but I've tried playing Oblivion and it just doesn't work with my computer, which is no excuse. I know I should play Oblivion, but I just haven't. But I remember like discovering, I was like, oh yeah, you know, doing more a deeper dive into the lore of Elder Scrolls, because it's deep. And discovering, hey, you can actually do the Dark Brotherhood questline in Skyrim. It's actually a big part of the game. It's like, oh, that's cool. Because the way that the Dark Brotherhood questline shows up in Skyrim was just, it's a very subtle way, because, you know, you overhear people and citizens in certain towns being like, have you heard of Aventus Arantino? Performing the Black Stack Room. Oh, no, I haven't. And then you get a miscellaneous prompt to go check that out. And that's the beginning of the Dark Brotherhood questline. But when you get into it, I think that, well, okay, I have to preface this by saying, you all know me. You all know that I love to be a sneaky build. So, of course, Dark Brotherhood is going to be right up my alley. But I think that the way of the game, it just throws you for a loop, because, you know, you're doing, you're the Night Mother is talking to you. And also, can I just say that stepping into a coffin with a dead body is rancid. Hate doing that every time. And of all the places in Skyrim, that's the one that I get bugged out most. And I end up having to do that so many times. That, and when you read the Elder Scrolls, where you're in that like time loop. And anyway, that was a tangent. But the Dark Brotherhood questline, I just thought was really well done, because I really like the character of like how the people in the Dark Brotherhood, how you come to discover the Dark Brotherhood. So like I said, you discover, or you go to Aventus Arantino, you end up killing Grelda. And then you get that mysterious and that iconic "we know" handprint. That's my favorite. And then you sleep in a bed and womp womp, you're kidnapped by Astrid. Blah, 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 blah. I just think that it's a really cool and fun questline, because you gotta love murdering Victoria Vici. If you decide to, killing her with a statue, I always love that. That's my favorite thing. The first time I played it, I think I just shot her with a bow and arrow on the like side door. But the smashing the statue is definitely better. And then when you discover that Astrid's killed you after you're pretending to be the gourmet and all of that. And then, of course, you meet Cicero, which, as I talked about in my last one, is one of my favorite companions. I just think that the whole story is really interesting, especially considering how the game plays into the lore of the Dark Brotherhood, where, I mean, like, as the Dark Brotherhood, you're this society, you know, you're supposed to be, at least if I'm remembering correctly, and I might be saying this wrong, but basically, like, there are different areas of the Elder Scrolls. So, you know, Morrowind or Oblivion and Skyrim, they've got their own separate, like, chapters of the Dark Brotherhood. And the way that Astrid was doing it was going against the morals of the Dark Brotherhood. And, like, seeing that kind of redemptive arc of Astrid's character, super interesting. I also love that, like, you've kind of got this, like, extra bit you can do on the quest. So you've got the quest of the Dark Brotherhood, but then they're like, if you do this special thing, you can get the special token to do this special thing. And I've always done that because I can, because I figured it out. But also, I just appreciate the like rewards that you get on top of that. And I think it's very enticing. Then, of course, you've got the Thieves Guild, which that one, it's a little frustrating that it's not something that you unfortunately, when you walk into Riften, you're automatically tagged by Brynjolf to do the Thieves Guild. And like, he's just targeting you. And I wish that that was something where like, okay, you had to have a certain high enough sneak level or a certain high enough pickpocketing level before he talks to you. But that's just a small tangent. But I really love the Thieves Guild quest because I think out of all of the quests in Dark Brotherhood, I think the quest in the Thieves Guild where you have to like sneak into Kalselmo's like laboratory to like scribble the Falmer language onto the pamphlet, and you have to like jump off of like ceiling side into the waterfall that runs through Markarth. That was probably the one quest that's my favorite, just because I distinctly remember playing that quest for the first time and being like, oh, what do I do? I only had one invisibility potion. You know, I don't want to be caught by the guards. Oh, there's one little nook and cranny. Oh, I'm going to jump off of it. Oh, I'm fine. Like, it was just, I thought that was a really cool, fun, like little escape mechanic that they did, especially considering like you're a thief, you're supposed to be sneaky and slip in and out. And I really liked how the Dark Brotherhood and the Thieves Guild kind of like go hand in hand with one another, because after you finish the Dark Brotherhood questline, and you're in the Dawnstar Sanctuary, like rebuilding the Brotherhood, you can go to, I can't remember his name right now, but you can go to a certain person in the Thieves Guild to talk to him. He's like, oh, you dipped your hand in both the Thieves Guild and the Dark Brotherhood, I see. And I just think that that's really cool how they like tie in with one another, because it just wouldn't make sense that these two big factions in Skyrim haven't come across each other's paths in some way. And I think that it's really cool that they tied them both together. Just a little short, small blur, but I appreciated it. But the Thieves Guild questline, it's just really cool. You get a really cool piece of armor. The Nightingale armor was probably one of the armors that I wore the most, just because I thought it was very beneficial until I discovered the Dark Brotherhood stuff. And that armor is the bomb.com too. So those quest lines were really fun. I mean, you've got other ones that you discover. I mean, the Sanguine Rose one, that one's always fun. The Lava Jack, that one's fun. Civil War one, probably my least favorite of all of the Skyrim quests, just because it's so repetitive. And honestly, you don't really have to do the Civil War quest line. It does make the main quest a little funky if you decide you want to like bring both parties to talk to the Greybeard's palace place. And it's just, the Civil War questline is not my favorite just because of how repetitive it is. I mean, you know, whether you choose Imperials or whether you choose Stormcloaks, this quest is the same. I mean, you have to go to each area of the map and win over the Jarl and take over the fort and do this and send this messenger and take over the fort, and you have to do it like 6 times, and it's really annoying. So the Civil War questline is probably my least favorite, but even then it's still pretty interesting because you can see like the after effects of your choices in Skyrim. Because say you choose Imperials, you can see all of the like previous Stormcloak Jarls in the Solitude's like palace in the basement. Like, they're all there and they're just like, blah, 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 I can't believe you would choose to side with the Imperials and blah, 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 you're a traitor. And it's kind of funny. A great place, life hack, by the way, a great place to level up. I think it's your like, not alteration, illusion, maybe, because it bases it off of like people. Anyway, I'm sidetracking, but quest lines in Skyrim, that was really well done. So in a previous episode, I talked about like great game DLCs, and Skyrim is definitely one of those. So you've got the Dragonborn DLC, you've got the Dawnborn DLC, and you've got the Hearthfire DLC. Hearthfire, isn't that great? I mean, it's cool that you get to like buy land and make your house, but every house that you build looks the same anyway, so whatever. But with the Dragonborn and the Dawnguard DLCs, those are definitely great. I mean, the quest lines in both of them are really fun. in the Dragonborn. I appreciate that you've got a new map and it allows you to do a lot of cool things within that map. And then with Dawnguard, the quest line was just really fun. I mean, you've got the vampires versus the vampire hunters, and seeing how they kind of just played into kind of what was happening already in the game. I mean, they took like the Stendar people and they burnt that place to the ground. But then you've just got like the lore of the Falmer, of the snow elves before they turned into Falmer. Thought that was really cool. So just the DLCs in Skyrim, I thought were really well done. They incorporated everything within Skyrim and kind of took it to the next level, 2.0 Skyrim, if you will. So the DLCs are definitely add to the game. So kind of like I talked about with, I think it was the last episode, maybe. Yes, with morals, like the replayability of the games. Skyrim is one of the ones that I think I've probably played the most. Obviously, I played it the most because I've locked 2,000 hours into it. I've definitely played it more than once. But the fact that you can kind of build to be an archer or a mage doing conjuring or dual wielding or sword and shield or two-handed. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can play the game. And even after you've played the game, say you've built, like when you started up, say you've built to be a two-handed warrior. Well, you can legendary stuff, reset your stats and decide to play a different way. So even within like a one playthrough, you can play multiple playthroughs. And even as I play Skyrim, like nowadays, there are certain things that I've seen that I've never seen before. I mean, I think the other day I haven't played it in a while, but I was in like Dragonbridge or something, and I swear I saw like the Headless Horseman, and I was like, what? What? Just like walking around, and I saw him, and I think I've seen him before, but that was the time where I like registered, like, it's this ghostly spectral dude. Anyway, it was weird. But I mean, even the bugs in Skyrim, I mean, I was mentioning how I get so frustrated when the game doesn't load and it lags in a certain place and I have to like exit out and then go back in and redo a quest. It's annoying, sure, but it's definitely a reason why I love it, because there are so many bugs in Skyrim that drive you up the wall, but they are funny and you can't deny that they're funny. And that's a win, because if you're going to make a bug, make it funny at least. The next part what I want to talk about why I like Skyrim is the modding community of Skyrim is just a whole different level. So if you know anything about Skyrim, Skyrim has a lot of different, you've got the running joke that Todd Howard loves to release Skyrim, which is true, because I lost count of how many times the game has been re-released, because you've got Skyrim, Skyrim Special Edition, Skyrim Anniversary Edition. I think there's another one in there. But then because the fan base of Skyrim is so loyal and people love Skyrim, I'm a part of that. I'm definitely a big fan of Skyrim. You've got the whole modding community. So if you don't know what I mean by mods to the game, basically modding is, so a mod in Skyrim. So it's basically they take the base game and they add on to it. So it's like free. Well, if you go on Nexus, it's like free downloadable content where you can plug added codes into the game to, for better or for worse, change your game. So the modding community has really upped Skyrim to a level where, you know, they fix certain bugs or they add certain mechanics to the game or they add different quest lines or they add different maps, and it really expands the base of Skyrim really well. So I remember when I was first playing Skyrim, I think I was just doing some research or something on how to complete a certain quest. And I noticed that the YouTuber that I was watching had like, the game just looked better, or they had a follower that I was like, I've never seen that follower before. And I did some research and I was like, oh, it's a mod. So mods are probably, it's definitely a reason why I love Skyrim so much, because you can add so much more to the base game. So in the modding community, like I said, you've got all sorts of different mods that you can have, and a lot of them are like silly. I mean, you can turn Alduin into Thomas the Tank Engine if you really want to, because that's something that people like and have demanded and have created. That's funny. That's funny. And you've got different people who have created the game and like overhauled the whole magic system. So in the base game of Skyrim, you've got like your destruction, you've got alteration, you've got conjuration, you've got illusion. I'm missing one, I think. But basically it overhauls that whole magic system to be something completely different. So certain spells are more difficult to cast and they take up more mana and they give you more access to different magic and all these sorts of different things. And those are just some examples of the modding, different mods in the game. I mean, they add so much to the game and help add it to be, I mean, it just makes it very relevant. Because when Skyrim came out, if you go on Nexus, there's, I can't even tell you how many different mods there are that you can download. And it's super easy to install. Like if you're on Netflix, you just create, Nexus. If you're on Nexus, if you just create an account, and, you know, say you want a new homestead. I don't know. I was really into a kick of discovering different homesteads that you can have. You can just go type in, you know, homes, player homes, all these different ones. Click on one. You can download it. And if you use Vortex, even though I hate Vortex, it basically automatically downloads it into Skyrim. The only bad thing about it is that it disables achievements, which really isn't that big of a deal because I think you can get a mod to enable achievements anyway, but it changes the game to be more of a unique experience. Because after I discovered mods, I was like, oh yeah, and there's just so many that I just have in the game. So every time I play the game, they're just staples. I mean, there's Skyrim Script Extender, which just basically that allows certain mods to work. So with Skyrim, I think I've got probably like 15-ish ones that are kind of like my go-to ones that I always have installed. Just certain ones, like there's one, it fixes certain bugs, like the bugs that I was talking about, where sometimes it doesn't load correctly. Got mods to fix that. I've got immersive armors, that mod, which adds a lot of armors, just more variants and types of armors to the game. I've got scoped bows, which might be cheating a little bit, but I love a little scope on my bow. I think I've got like a follower one. I've got a player house one. There's just so many different mods that you can have in Skyrim that adds so much to your game. I think I was going through like different iterations of different playthroughs that I've done. And there was one time where I had a phase where I really liked having wings where you could just like fly, or not necessarily fly, even though you can do that with Force New Idols, but like just having wings on my character, I thought was really cool because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm Dragonborn. Of course, I'm going to have dragon wings because I'm really cool. Silly, I know. I probably still have it downloaded because sometimes I download mods and I don't undownload them. Uninstall them, that's the word I'm looking for. The Skyrim modding community is really awesome. And it's interesting to me because Skyrim is not the only game that you can add mods to. You've got all sorts of different games that you can add mods to that really help build the game to be how you want it to. I would definitely recommend just mods in general, just because they help elevate the game to make it more playable. Because there are certain aspects where you have bugs or there's just things that don't work in the game, and adding a mod to it can help it exponentially. So I'm definitely pro modding a game. I think that you have your choice to build the game how you want it to, and mods definitely help that. So the modding community is definitely something that made Skyrim really special to me, because that was the first game that I really got into modding, because you can make it your own unique way. And I mean, even if you don't really want to disrupt the game that much, I mean, like I said, you've got immersive armors, which really helps, not helps, it just adds more variety to the game. And I mean, you've got mods that can kind of help you keep that like immersive experience in the game. And then of course you've got silly mods like turning Alduin into Thomas the Tank Engine, crazy ones. But it makes for a good time. So every time you play the game, you know, you can download a new mod and experience some silly little thing. I think for the longest time, I had Posh Mud Crabs installed just because I hate mud crabs. They annoy me so much. And putting a little top hat and a little eyeglass on them made my day better. So I would definitely recommend mods to Skyrim specifically, but also just other games. So there are so many reasons why I love Skyrim. I mean, I think I still can't tell you how many YouTubers I follow that just do a lot of content based off of Skyrim. I mean, the game was released, what, probably 20 years ago at this point. And if the fact that it's been re-released a gazillion times and that people to this day are still making content about it still shows how relevant it is. I mean, that's pretty impressive that a game that's old, is still being played a lot. I mean, Skyrim, at least I would like to think, Skyrim is a pretty well-known game. I mean, you say Skyrim out loud, and people probably have a hint of what you're referring to. And that's pretty impressive. I mean, Skyrim just has such a loyal fan base, and for good reason, because it's a really good game. I mean, like I mentioned, the game is absolutely stunning. The quest lines of the game, I mean, even the side quests in the game are really interesting. You've got really great DLCs that have added to the game, the replayability, and the modding community, all really great. I mean, Skyrim is just such a fun, unique game to play. And I know there are some people that don't really like Skyrim because it isn't as, like, in-depth as certain other games that are out there. I mean, it's definitely not really big on morality, which I know I've talked about being something that I really like, but it doesn't really go into that. And for all purposes and reasons, the game is fairly shallow. I mean, actions don't really have consequences. The people that you talk to are kind of all the same. NPCs are really boring in the game. And like I said, the bugs can be really annoying, but the game, it's a really good game. I think that's a really good, like, starting out game for an RPG role-playing game. That's my spiel on Skyrim. I really love it, and I think you should definitely check it out if you haven't. Now, that's all for today's episode. As always, Fireside Aces Radio is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. Student Media produces the Crescent magazine, published online and in print 3 times a semester. Student Media produces several podcasts and utilizes design, photography, video, and sound towards experiential and academic learning and journalistic endeavors and engaging storytelling. Student Media elevates the voice of the student body and connects the campus and community to important information and points of view. So now you know why I love Skyrim. And if you haven't played it yet, I would definitely check it out, like I said, because it's a really fun RPG. I think it's a really good, like, intro game to kind of get you into video games if you haven't played video games. But that's all for today's episode. So thanks for tuning in, and have a great day. Ta-ta!